Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Taro. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 20, Seattle. Recap of episode 9. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Coach Run says, watching this show makes me realize group therapy is never a good idea. Do you agree?
Well, I don't know if Coach feels this way, but my thing is group therapy is fine as long as only the therapists give me their opinion. You're not licensed. And if you're not licensed, I don't want to hear a word out of your mouth.
Didn't even think about that because, yeah, you're going to feel a kind of way if everybody starts throwing their piece in because now you're like, well, is this what you've been thinking the whole time, right?
Exactly. The therapist is telling me, I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. Mm-hmm. But if this other couple was like, well, you know, Terrell, with you and so-and-so, I've been like, let me just stop you right there, Janice. show me your license, Dr. Cheyenne Bryant. Show me your license. You don't have it? I don't want to hear it.
Hey, Mike says returning to work this week, so probably my last live of the season. So I won't know if y'all are late after tonight. See, but we did know when you missed a word right there, Mike. We appreciate you though.
Hope you enjoyed your time off, Mike. Good luck going back to work, and just check in.
Yeah,
you don't have to be live with us, but you can watch the replay.
Yeah, it's a part of the replay gang. Look, man, hey, we love all you guys, man. Mike, I know we give you a hard time sometimes, but you know what? We appreciate you. And if ain't nobody else told you, we love you, man.
I like you. I don't throw the L word around. Mike, I like you. Can't say I love you, but I like you.
Well, I said love, L-U-H. There's a difference.
By the way, like Oprah loves my Harpo. God knows I do. But I Toya said,
Toya's in agreement with you. Spot on, Terrell. Only the therapist should be talking. Jesus, it's going to be a long night.
Yeah.
D. Michelle said, Terrell will pull out his phone like Sean. I said, okay, well, I'll let you keep talking. Oh, Mimi says, don't put me in group therapy with marital misfits. Shut up and fix your shit before saying anything about mine.
Fair. Fair.
Now, Nikki B, on the other hand, says, I enjoy the group sessions. All the couples on equal playing fields.
They all equally have some opportunities. You're correct.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't need Courtney trying to give me tips.
Well, true. But okay. However, she did say something that was worthy of being said today. I'm just mad that it came from her. We'll get to that because there's so much to get to. By the way, Paris says, hey, guys, having family game night, but wanted to stop by and say hi. Well, hope you win.
Yeah. And we'll see you family game night. That's nice.
Yeah, that's always good. You ever do family game night?
With my family?
Trick question.
we play a game called How to Ghost Each Other. Until somebody catches on.
People don't realize how funny that shit is. But knowing the backstory, that was evil and funny at the same time.
Thank you.
And I'll say this, then we'll roll on, because Toya says, everyone is an expert at fixing other people's relationships, but not their own. That is so true real life, because you can't see the forest for the trees. Everybody can see the flaws in everybody else's relationship, but they can't see when they're making those exact same mistakes themselves. So that being said, I know we watch reality TV with judgmental eyes, right? We can't say for sure, and this is why I don't do hypothetical situations, that we wouldn't make some of these same, not everyone, but some of these same mistakes if we were in their situation.
Well, that's just it. We wouldn't be in their situation.
Now, because of that, we'll continue to make fun of them.
Yeah, you wouldn't be in the situation. So, hey, I'm glad that they put themselves out there to give us a platform to make fun of it. I think it's great. But there's no way in the world you'd see me on Marrying a Stranger. As y'all know how picky I am in my list, there's no way. Experts couldn't even find a match.
Shineske said, well, sometimes it's good to have a different perspective.
If you're willing and open to listening to it, sure.
Oh, we know you're not. So,
but people are like, girl, you need to leave him. You just don't understand him.
Yep. You know what? You're right. You stay there.
Yeah, you're right. Stay there.
that's what I stopped giving advice. So people, oh, you know, I'm fine. As Sly says, like a bunch of skunks saying you stink. Yeah. Well,
I like that.
Yeah, but think about it. When you smoked, you didn't think you did either. So, I mean, I always used to tell people when I smoked, I never smelled the cigarette smoke. So, it's now when I quit, I'm like, holy crap. I need to go and apologize to a bunch of people right now.
No, that was a different me. This is the new me. I don't have to apologize.
Shout out to Nubia Mahogany. He says, I haven't missed you guys. We miss you too. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Hey, look, I know we didn't get to our 10K. So before we dive into this, please do us a favor. If you have not done so already, as you've come on in and we sit down in this group therapy session of episode 9, if you have not hit that like button, please hit the like button. And if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shouts.
We start off this episode 9 with troublesome couple, Becca. Belja Lee and Mecca. Belja Lee's going to work with Mecca, who is obviously being performative for the cameras.
Well, 100%. And here's what I respect about Mecca. Mm-hmm. I worked in the janitorial industry last 5.5 years from an HR recruiting perspective.
I'm about to say, hold up now. You weren't out there cleaning any toilets.
Yeah, no, but hiring people to go out. We hire people to go out and do what he's doing, clean porta potties. We hire people to go clean the latrines and the planes. Mm-hmm. All those different things where you're just pumping out shit, literally.
Yeah, literally.
I have a lot of respect for these people. I mean, and there's so much money to be made in that industry. Mm-hmm. And so it's a family-owned business. So I'm like, it's good for them. I was quite surprised that Bell was willing to hold the pump and do all that, but good for them. I love this scene. And you get a chance to see how much pride Mecca takes in his work. Because a lot of people would just phone that shit in and be like, ugh, gross. You know, spray it with some Fabuloso, holds it down and walk away.
Yeah.
He actually gives a shit about the shit that he's cleaning.
You know, and that's the thing, because I'm always telling people, if you want the next job, you better perform the current job at the best of your ability. Because if you don't, nobody's going to believe that you can do the next job.
Right.
Because that same laissez-faire attitude you have on this one, nobody's going to give you the next one. By the way, Something to Be says, Yanni, you think it was performative? I guess I'm too optimistic. I want to think it was a cute moment until he brought in his grandma. We'll get to grandma because Terrell has some thoughts on grandma as well, too. Well, not necessarily on grandma, but, you know.
Kind of got on grandma.
It was performative because the way he was, think about everything he was saying. He's just so over the top when he knows the camera's on. I work with somebody like that. Like I would, I'm literally in the car and I hear them talking on the air and I go, the camera's on. They're recording themselves right now. Why? Because I can tell exactly when the camera's on, they ham it up just a little bit more. And whenever that is the case, that's Mecca. And you can see it.
Look at his dad.
Okay, never mind. I take it back.
Yeah, that's just how they are. That's just what he is. They're performative people.
Hey, Jolie says, who knew that industry was so lucrative? It's because nobody wants to pick up the shit.
It's a ton of money. You find something nobody wants to do, you can charge whatever you want for it. And it's so much, millions of dollars, billions of dollars in the janitorial industry. You have no idea.
Lucy B says, oh man, I'm eating and disgusted thinking about that scene. Yuck.
Yeah, I hate porta potties.
As much as I can avoid them, if I go in, it's because it's early and nobody else has been in there yet.
They just got set up. They're fresh off the truck.
Yeah.
First.
And it's only to stand up. By the way, Sly says Belle is very adventurous. I would not be able to bring your wife to work day. Yeah. You know, I get that. But they get to the office, so this is the clean part of the job, and they get to go meet grandma.
Yeah. Now this what bothered me about this scene, not knocking grandma being brought into it. I think it's great. But Belle has on the jacket that she had that she was vacuuming shit out of a porta potty. Mm-hmm. You need to take that jacket off or you're going to come in and hug me. If I'm grandma, hey, take that jacket off, wash your hands, throw a little soap and water in your face and around the neck, pull a Sean. I need you to take a little hoe bath before you come give me a hug, because there's particles and stuff on that jacket. That was disgusting. I ain't hugging you with a uniform on. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to understand, Belle Jolie thinks that uniform is sexy on Mecca.
It's great. There's no way. If I was dating somebody in that industry, I would respect her for what she did. But don't you bring that shit, literally, in the house. Don't you bring none of that. You strip in the garage. I have a garage shower for you. You wash.
Wash.
You wash before you come in here trying to hug on somebody. No.
Nikki B says, damn, Terrell could taste the funk off that jacket.
Oh, I saw that. I was like, disgusted. No.
Coach Run says, I haven't seen a man this happy about sanitation since I watched the TV show Rock.
when you do it, you have to. I mean, I've watched people clean bathrooms. You got to have that attitude or else the job's going to suck.
Yeah. Or stink. I do like the fact that, and I got to give, you know what? I got to take a moment here. Thank you, Married at First Sight. Thank you, Peacock, for leaving in the important part about this. And not just about the poop cleaning, the sucking out of the porta potties, the hugging in the funky jacket, but also leaving in the fact that they're the only black-owned portable toilet company in the Pacific Northwest. I like that you left it in. Yeah. And you know what? Hats off. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's nice. Great promo. You know, and I like how Grandma was telling Bill, like, hey, so this could all be Mecca's, which means you're going to have to be me and do this.
And I will say, I was not convinced when Belle Jolie was like, yeah, you know, because I assistant and office work. Hey, no. You know what? You might need to come in and do some training.
Yeah.
You're going to mess these
I thought up. That because I thought Grandma was going to be like, hey, I do more than front desk office work. In fact, tomorrow you can work with me for a day.
By the way, Mike says, at least now Terrell understands why some of our wives require we take 3 showers a day.
Okay, Mike, do you work in sanitation?
No, remember, he's a truck driver.
Exactly. That's my point.
Have you ever sat in a truck for that long?
I sat in a U-Haul with you. Driving from Atlanta to Houston.
It's not just
that Miracles on time.
Do not compare that to drive to what
just,
Mike does.
I'm just saying. Okay, but if you're not pumping out shit and porta potties all day.
Oh my God.
3 showers. I still will disagree with you.
That's because you just don't like anybody telling you what to do. That's all there is.
Respectfully. What? I don't like to argue. What are you talking about?
Before they get to group therapy, we do get to see Marissa and Adam, and Adam with his thrift shop vibes. And now we understand why he leaves the tags on.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mike, I get that. If you're hauling hazmat all day.
See?
Yes. For those that don't know, hazardous materials, hazmat.
Which now Mike Terrell is saying, take 4 showers.
Yeah, you're gonna need more than some hand sanitizer in your glove box. Need some more stuff. And someone said Fabuloso works for everything. Mike, would you a little Fabuloso, just rub that a little behind your ears. It smells great.
Do not listen to this man, please. Jesus,
I don't understand why he's wearing this shirt with a tag on it.
Yeah,
and why Marissa is going with that, because to me it's tacky.
It is
just very tacky to do, and you're doing this on TV, which tells me he does this regularly. This can't just be something he just does because the cameras are on for Married at First Sight.
I'm just glad it wasn't Sean or Mecca boy. Jeez.
Yeah, none of us. Mm-hmm. But then Adam says that she asked him about therapy, if he's gone to therapy before, and he said that couples therapy before has helped him break up with his girlfriends. Yes. I was like, that would have been a good time to have a deeper conversation. Let me tell you more about why I broke up with these girlfriends after couples therapy.
Right. Mm-hmm. CXM says all the jokes and playing will get on my nerves. Yes. And you know what? It feels like it's getting on Marissa's nerve a little bit, right? Because it just feels like it. We see them walking in. And a couple things to notice as all the couples are walking in, right? Because Adam comes in with his shirt completely open. And as soon as he walks, well, let me button it up. And it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
he's going for shock value, right? Which is just a little too much sometimes. What do you think of Nikki and Sean arriving arm in arm and happy?
Not buying it.
Me neither.
Not buying it at all. Sorry, Nikki, Sean, sorry. Just not buying it. It could be true, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just not buying that.
And Courtney making such a big deal about holding Nick's hand walking in. Whatever.
Yeah, that was a lot of touchy-feely, but I feel like that was performative.
That was also performative, very true.
Yeah.
Just like Mecca during that whole time. I know there's some people who disagree with me, so I'm going to say it again. And if you disagree with me, it's okay to do this. Hit that like button. If you agree with me, hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shouts!
First couple they get to in group therapy, and I'm glad they went this way. And probably purposely Paul went to Marissa and Adam because he wanted to, I think you call it setting the tone, right?
Address the shirt. He was like, no. We're going to talk about this mofo first.
Because when he does address the shirt, Adam tries to make a joke. And Paul says, oh, look, you see, that's the stuff we're not doing tonight.
Yeah.
You liked that, didn't you?
I did. No, and I like how he said, we're not going to talk about that bullshit. Mm-hmm. That BS tonight. We're not doing that. And he says that as the experiments has gone longer, Adam has become more of a deflector with humor and his attire.
Right.
And he's just still deflecting from vulnerability. Yeah. I like how Paul called him out. Like, this is, and everyone else, you saw their eyes, they're like, oh, mm-hmm. shit.
Yeah.
And it's our turn. It's about to get real.
And which is, that's what you got to do. Let them know, hey, this ain't for play. The fun is over. Let's get to it because this is real. Because like something to be said, Paul read Adam like a book. And did you notice the anger on Adam's face? He went from white to red. He did, because Paul tells Adam he came to the experiment serious. But as the experiment goes on, he's become more of a deflector. And this ticked Adam off. I'm not deflecting. This is just who I am.
No, it's not. And Paul said to his guns, like, look, man, you got 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. You got 4 weeks to be able to get serious and have, because you got a decision you got to make. You got to start to get deep and get vulnerable. And then I like how he turns it over to Marissa. Mm-hmm. And Marissa's like, yeah, we haven't had a deep conversation yet. And I like how Dr. Lisa calls Marissa. Have you talked to Adam about your dad? Well, she said surface level. And Dr. Lisa says, wow, I feel like I know more about the history between you and your dad than you and your husband.
Right.
When you say it like that,
yes.
Not like the guy you met 2 weeks ago, your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it real.
You know what it was? She was trying to get on the show, so she shared all that stuff, right? And she felt comfortable with Dr. Lisa. With Adam, she goes, if I try to have a real conversation with this jokester, this clown, this jester, this court jester, he's not going to take it serious. He's going to make a joke. It's going to piss me off. I'm going to have to give mad sex to him tonight. So let's not do that. Because she's still going to do it regardless.
You mean mad vibes.
Mad vibes. My bad.
I'm going to vibe the hell out of him tonight.
Well, they asked them to share something real. So Marissa does talk about her dad. Did you like the way she did it?
I mean, she shared it. But to me, what she shared in that setting, she could have shared to Adam before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't as crazy as I thought. And it's sad that that's how she grew up. And I'm glad that Adam recognized. And hopefully this opens the door for Adam to dig further into that, to learn more about who she is and what makes her the way she is. Now, did you hear Adam's share?
It was terrible. It was like the Cliff Notes.
Surface level. Yeah, so my last two relationships, I was cheated on. But I went through some therapy, worked through some trauma, and I'm in a good place.
Right.
That's it.
That was it.
The service levels. Yeah.
And it's to the point that, you know, even when Cam's like, well, you know, I'm glad he got up. No, he didn't. When? When did he open up?
When did he? The shirt? No. That was open when he got there.
So I like that Michelle called it out, even though she just called it out to the producers and not to Adam. Did you catch, though, that Marissa was even telling the producers, you know, when they do this confessional, that she wishes Adam had the maturity and awareness that Cameron has when talking about his relationship.
Yeah.
Which tells me she knows this is not real, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
Mm.
I would hope that she would know that. Right. But we'll talk later on how I'm like, I'm questioning it.
I get why. Matter of fact, let's just get to him because Michelle and Cameron, Cameron said Michelle has cried around him and they're having conversations that they wouldn't have had for like 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I mean, the financial conversations, all of that. I mean, how long before you tell someone, this is how much I make. This is what I have in savings. This is my 401k. This is what I'm thinking about retirement. Like, you don't have those conversations in the first 6 months normally. Mm-hmm. So they're having all those. I like how he talked about the finance conversation and owning the fact that, hey, it felt kind of emasculating, but then he realized it's not that bad. And for Michelle to say that she equated success and drive with money, and she was wrong about that. I was like, oh my goodness, ladies, ladies.
They actually can say.
There are some great blue collar, hardworking dudes that'll love the shit out of you, but because they don't make $250,000.
As long as they're not named Sean.
Yeah, as long as they're named Sean. They're above 5'5".
When Dr. Paz asks, is there anything else? Something tells me she already kind of knew there was going to be something else, right?
Mm. Yeah, and Cameron was like, all right, well. And it's funny, like, if it were me, and I want to tell the world the first time I had sex, I'm like, guess what? I had sex. Like, I'm excited. He was just, we had sex. Just not the same. If I'm going to tell everybody, I want to shout it from the rooftops. I got some. It was amazing.
So basically, they were vibing.
Yeah. Don't know how good the vibe was, but just they were vibing. If the vibe was good, I'd have said something. You know, you go on a roller coaster. How was it? It was all right.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about that. Then you go on another roller coaster. How was that? Oh, my God, Terrell, this was amazing.
Or it could be like, you know, when Lou Holtz was the coach in the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, when Bill Walsh, act like you've been there before.
Sometimes you can't because you go, I've never been. I've never been.
Barry Sanders didn't go into the end zone cutting up. He went and was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, I've been in many a temple, but this temple was different.
Sawyer says Cameron seems like his bad personality will come out later.
It's possible because, like we said, they're boring.
Yeah.
And there's always that couple that's boring, and producers are going to find a way to bring some drama into them. And we just haven't seen it yet because they tease us after the honeymoon thinking like, oh, these guys don't like each other.
Right.
Body language is all off. Now look where they're at. So,
But then that's always been the case with Married at First Sight. At some point you see them not, and then all of a sudden, oh, it's on a good path. This could be the couple that makes it. And this seems like this could be the couple that makes it. So, quick shout out to everybody rocking with us, man. We do appreciate you guys hanging out with us, whether you're watching now as part of the live crew or watching this later part of the replay, gang. Please do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
And if you really want to support the channel, join the regulars by becoming a member. Use the shortcut and scan the QR code on the screen. It's less than $3 a month. You'll get custom emojis, early access to random thoughts and RGRT pod reaction videos, and more, including members only live streams for story time with Terrell.
We got another one coming soon?
Lord, I can always come up with something. I got a lot of stories.
I know you do.
I might have to run them by somebody, but I got to.
Now you got to ask permission before you do
shit. Yeah, I'd be like, hey, so on the pod, I want to talk about this thing from college.
To be fair. Until she becomes a regular, she won't see him unless you show him.
Touche. Touche.
To the replay, gang, make sure you hit that hype button. And to all of our podcast fam, listen on your favorite app. I bet you she becomes a member now. Thank you, too. Leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. And if you'd like support in style, there's a QR code over Terrell's left shoulder. That's the one to the merch store. Check it out. Scan the QR code. And thank you in advance for your support. You know, I had another word for this because I'd like for you guys to let us know that you made it this far and leave a word in the comment section, right? I was going to go with talls and smalls for Michelle and Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
But how about we go with story time for Terrell?
I thought you was going talls and smalls, and so I'm like,
I was.
Story time for Terrell. Okay.
I was. However, by the way, Toya says, I'm going to send kids in December on a cruise. Hey, okay, so I got some stuff for you. Like, you know, got to get on that catamaran with my cousin. So, yeah.
Hit up in the DMs for tips. It's going to be beautiful. If you haven't been, St. Kitts is amazing.
And it will be warm. next couple up is going to be Courtney and Nick. Mm. And Courtney gets a little emotional. And I'm trying to understand why, because she's just talking in circles and saying absolutely nothing of significance. Nothing.
Yeah, because Dr. Lisa asked her why she's blocking or rejecting Nick, you know, at the dinner. And she starts talking, but when she does this, we've seen this happen, ultimatum, you start the tears. And she just starts WWTs. Crying. Right, she starts to cry. That tried to deflect and get everybody off of coming at her. And she says that she wants to feel safe. And though she does feel safe with Nick, she wants things to happen when she is ready. Mm-hmm. And to me, none of that has to do with safety. It's like you're not into him. And that's okay to say that. Nikki has said it multiple times. Right. It's okay to say, I'm not into this guy. I'm not feeling it.
Right.
But to start breaking out the tears, if people are trying to force y'all into intimacy, they're not. They're just saying, hey, hold hands. Mm-hmm. You know, touch his leg. And if that brings you to tears, the pressure of doing that, you do not like this man. And it's okay to say that.
It's okay to say. And trust me, like you said, Nikki has said it many times. And she keeps saying it in front of the entire group. She said it in private. She said it in public. She's fine saying it. By the way, Nikki B says, Courtney needs a Karen and Nick needs to cuss out for all of us.
He's not going to do that.
No, he's not. He's a little too. But, you know, okay. Interesting, because Dr. Paz asked what happened in the past that made intimacy and safety an issue, right?
Yeah.
Did she answer the question?
No. All she says, she hasn't had good experiences when it comes to sex. And again, doctor asked about intimacy. Mm-hmm. She goes straight to sex.
Right.
So there's something there. Like everything, when physical touch in her mind leads to sex or is about sex. And that's not the case. Sometimes you just want to hold your person's hand. You want to just rub their back, to, you know, slap them on the butt when they walk by. It doesn't mean we're about to get naked.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about going to slap on the butt and miss. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. Whew. Okay, what's wrong with me?
Why are you hitting my shoulder blade, Yanni? Why'd you do that? That's a question. Why are you hitting the top of my back? What are you doing?
What is wrong with me?
leave Miss 6 o'clock alone. Leave Miss 6 o'clock alone.
Oh, dear God. I'm sorry. I apologize. If the lightning comes down and gets me, it's your fault, Terrell. No. <Nope. laughs> You had to say that and made me say that. Oh. Courtney says they talk a lot. They don't get deep, right? Or vulnerable. And so that's why she doesn't feel safe and comfortable quickly. Now, Adam jumps in and is like, you know, kind of gives Nick some praise.
Yeah.
And Dr. Paz is like, hold up now. Because, Nick, what are your fears? What are your pain points? I don't know much about you. And then Nick decides to give the Nick answer.
Yeah. He said, I haven't done enough thinking on that. And I love how Dr. Felicia is like, I call bullshit on that. Because, hey, Nick, you've been on two reality shows. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of thinking about yourself. Don't act like you haven't. Right. Whether doing the show or after rewatching it and then going on the reunions, you know how this works.
Right.
And so Paul tells Nick to say something of importance to Courtney. And he's trying to think of what is going to be good for TV. Yes. What could I say that's going to be good for my audience? No, just talk about yourself.
Right. And he's too busy thinking of the perfect answer. Right. And I like I like what Paul tells him. Like, look, I know people, you've been on a couple of reality TV shows. We know people like to self-edit. And then finally, something registers. And Nick goes, I remember this script. you know, I feel like I can't be my awkward, goofy self. I feel like I need to be polished all the time, which is right along the lines of what they've been talking about. So good job, Nick. He finally came across something. And did you notice Michelle's like, hey, yeah, I know your friends, and your friends are goofy and awkward too. So it's they share friends. This is good, right?
Yeah, be yourself. Like, you can totally be yourself. And the fact that he's not, to me, still says something about his partner too, because Courtney plays a role in that. You can't say, I want you to be goofy and fun, but then nitpick me for every single thing that I do. I can't, you know, open, you know, do an espresso deal. I can't pour you a drink. I don't open doors enough for you. I stepped on your foot. All you're doing is nitpicking at him. Mm-hmm. Why would he think that it's okay for him to be his authentic, goofy self?
Exactly. Besides, like Miss Senna says, run, Nick. If he threw her in the pool like she said, she'd probably cuss his ass out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she hasn't given him a safe space to be his awkward, goofy self, too. Paul says they both need to try harder. Totally agree. Let's move on. Tori and Felipe. I know you probably got a kick out of this when Felipe was saying that, you know, he feels he has to commit every day and he's afraid of sabotaging himself.
I laughed out loud when he said this. He goes, I feel I have committed, but I've learned that in this marriage, I got to commit every day. Yes, I'm not married, and I know that. Like, every day you wake up and choose your relationship and your partner. You recommit every morning. It's like 50 first dates. You start over.
Yeah.
You recommit. I just thought it was so funny that he said that and that he's still worried about the passion being gone.
Right. You know, I do like that Dr. Paz brings up passion in a way, because once that comes up, she's like, you know, people use passion as an excuse, because passion does plateau at some point, which it does. You got to rediscover it.
Yeah.
And when you do, it's like all over again. Like, ah, nice.
Yeah. But this goes back to what I said yesterday's recap. Felipe likes that fun stage of the relationship because he feels when the butterflies go away, he only leaves two.
Right. Yeah, it's, and I think this, you know, it's that new feeling. You know, he likes the new car smell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. That's the problem.
Yeah, or, once you like, put a few miles on it, you're done.
Felipe likes Elise. like Chocolate Suda says, Felipe likes instant gratification. You know, Paul asked Tori, though, not letting her off the hook, which I'm glad they didn't. Because Felipe can get a lot of smoke. But I'm glad that Paul didn't leave, let Tori off the hook and asked about distancing herself from Felipe after being intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of gave her some words about that too, right?
Yeah, because Dr. Lisa asked, like, what was going on when you did that? And she said that she had some panic. And what I like that Paul did is he encouraged her to have these conversations with Felipe, because if you hear her tell the story, after they had sex the first time, she couldn't sleep. She's in her head. She leaves. She goes, sleeps on the couch. And then at 6 in the morning, he comes out and she's like, good morning. Like, everything is great. Hey, you know, we went a little too far. I don't know if I'm ready. And that's it, without really telling him.
Would you like eggs and bacon?
Yeah. Here's what's really going on in my head. And talking through it. So I like that Paul told her, talk to your husband about this stuff.
Right. Because you know what is the most important part of a relationship? Communication.
That's what I've heard.
That's all you've heard?
No, that's one. That's, I've heard that. Not all I've heard, but it's a big part.
It is a big part. Did you notice that they've been intimate since? Did you catch that part?
Mm-mm.
So they asked, well, have y'all been intimate again since? And he was like, yes. And even Felipe is like, yes, it was good to me. And Dr. Paul's like, yeah, I'm sure it was. I had no doubt. I'm not talking to you, Tori. By the way, JC Walker says Felipe needs to go and married at first sight. He wants multiple wives.
That's Sister Wives, is it? Is that that show? Maybe he needs to go on that one.
Yeah, there you go. It seems like this. Okay. If Tori heard what they said, this seems like it could be going to a great place, except nobody in the live crew thinks Felipe is going to make it. And Sly, because Sly is going the other route, saying Tori was tripping. These two may not, maybe headed for a disaster.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to make it. But
yeah, and just one of them young bartenders walked by him, and he might be done that quick. After one argument, hot bartender.
One argument, I'm out.
Yeah. Back to the streets.
Piece of candy. Piece of candy. Look at that over there.
And Nikki B says, I'm tired of these broken people getting married. Hey, broken people need love too.
There's a lot of broken people that get married, not just on TV, in real life. We've stood in we have been in weddings live where we're like, this ain't gonna work. We've all done it.
Hey, I've been in a wedding where the best man was like, hey, so at the rehearsal, yo, you need to get two phones. He said, I remember one morning I was driving to work and I realized I forgot my phone at the house. He said, I almost broke my neck trying to get back to the house. I'm like, dude, that's the best man. I know that's the best man. I know that's your boy. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
He didn't listen to me, though.
Well, all the weddings I was in there, I'm like, this ain't going to last.
Yeah.
They didn't make it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not my fault. Let's just say I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Broken people.
No, I'll say this. That one's still making it. How? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Ignorance is bliss, I guess.
That part. Beljolie and Mecca. Speaking of ignorance is bliss, Dr. Paz asked about the homework that she gave Bel and Mecca. And Mecca's like, hey, you know, we appreciate the homework, but we skipped it. Went straight to the finish line. Or, as Adam calls it, vibing.
Yeah, I'm going in.
You know, interesting thing, though, Beljolie tries to pretend, and I'm glad Dr. Paz called out of it, because she's like, oh, well, I never felt like I wasn't desired by Mecca. Huh?
Really? After a man tells you I'm not as attracted to you as you are to me, mm-hmm. you're telling me you felt desired that whole time? Lies. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Shh. I can't believe she even said that. And I like that Paul even said, hey, Mecca, it feels like you never chose Bel.
Yeah.
Which he has to this point.
Yeah, and I thought it was powerful when he said that. Hey, we've matched y'all, but you still have to choose your partner.
Right.
And that's for everybody. And he feels that Bel has chosen Mecca every day.
Mm-hmm.
Since she saw him, you know, walking down the aisle, she has chosen him 100%. He hasn't chosen her. And this is where it gets kind of sad because, you know, you think we always talk about therapy, right? We had a sponsor who was a therapist mm-hmm. and how important this is. And you could tell that Becca needs this.
Right.
Because Dr. Lisa asked him if he's, does he believe that he's deserving of being loved?
Right.
And she said that when she told Becca that they found his match, that first he said is, I think I might cry. And I can't believe there's someone out there that could love me forever.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a dude's not ready for marriage just yet, honestly.
And this is where I blame the experts again. I see too many people that they matched on this season that didn't deserve to be there. Now, of course, for our enjoyment and our entertainment, thank you. But for their sake, no.
Yeah.
It's
Thank
it's
you bad. For bringing us Mecca and Logic.
I feel so bad for Beljolie and all of this too, man, because, you know, the way she's defending Mecca is wild, because Paul asks if the dinner comments were authentic or performative.
Mm-hmm.
Both Beljolie and Mecca saying it was authentic. And I'm like,
No. No. Not at all.
Yeah. Even Michelle jumped in saying that what they shared in group therapy was more authentic than what was at dinner, which was performative.
Well, agreed, because I want to look at Mecca and say, okay, I want to like replay tape. Okay, here's where you're talking about how fine she is and she's all this and she's all that. Since you saw her walk down the aisle, you saw what was behind her, what she was working with. You were all in.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward. Here's you say that.
Yes.
I'm not as attracted to you as you are to me. You are 150%. I'm more like 80%.
That okay, so this is the one thing about the group therapy I'm mad at, that they don't have the receipts, because they know, we know they have them.
Yeah.
And if they do that, then I think that would really, so at this point you didn't think that he was, you even pulled back because of this. Yeah. It's I really wish they would have done that. Mecca and Belle Jolie, in the producer conversation, it felt like they were offended.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
rather than owning, taking accountability.
Now, here's where I was a little conflicted. Because Courtney asked Mecca if he loves himself enough to accept love from someone else. And I'm like, damn, that's a damn good question.
For you.
Or wrong person to ask.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask yourself, Courtney.
Well, that too. Yeah, true. I do like at this moment, and this is where, I know you said only the experts should be talking at this point, but I like where Devin jumped in.
Yeah.
And because I feel like he saw Mecca, and he could see Mecca and go, this dude's getting a little ticked off. He's stopping. He's not listening to anything. So he goes, bro, I see you. I feel the same way. Which I think was a great move on his part to just go like, hey, man, we're all not ganging up on you. Yeah. I understand what you're going through. It's okay.
Yeah. We all get it. You know, and you have a support group. There's these people. All of us are going through something similar. Talk to us if you need to talk through it. Because he's not talking to somebody. He can't go to his daddy. Mm-hmm. So right. Go talk to Devin, Mecca.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Paz asks Belle Jolie what it feels like to hear Mecca say he doesn't feel deserving of love.
Mm-hmm.
And her response felt heartfelt and honest, right?
Yeah, it felt heartfelt. But here's the thing is, she also said, yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so if you know that,
then that's, mm-hmm.
Then help me understand more about this thing that you guys got going. If you know and you see that,
right,
and you're still trying to give him that love that he doesn't feel he's deserved it of, talk through that.
Is it like what Kevin's saying? Belle Jolie and Mecca have been trying to win the room all season in group sessions?
Well, that's what Mecca said the first time they went to go hang out on the honeymoon.
Right.
We're going to be the best couple out there. We're going to rock this.
Right.
So he has that mindset of, I want us to be the best. Remember? Peaches and cream at the group dinner?
Yeah.
But it's not about
all 12.
Yeah.
By the way, Sly says, Belle deserves a healed man. She's more than ready for Mecca, which is exactly what Felipe said, because he tells us and the producers that Mecca does not seem ready for Belle, who seems super ready for him.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate.
Okay, let's hear this.
Do we think that Belle is healed? Or is all the love that she didn't get from her dad, she's trying to put into Mecca?
Right.
Because remember, she met her dad finally, and he was like, oh, yeah, cool. No, I don't want anything to do with you. So now with Mecca, she's putting all her, everything she has into it.
Yes.
Maybe she's not healed. Just throwing it out there.
Well, maybe we should send them over to Martha. Hey, thank you for the super chat. Martha says, hey, guys, this is Martha from Evolution Counseling Services. My first live. Well, welcome in. This is a music part of Replay Gang. Always entertained by you. Well, thank you. We appreciate you. Thank you very much for the super chat.
I know seven couples. You should get a hold of who IG, Martha. They need your help badly.
Badly. Immediately. Speaking of couples who need help, immediately, Nikki and Sean. Yeah. they may need extended sessions, right? Because Nikki says that she and Sean have had a miraculous shift in their energy. And we all say simultaneously, bullshit.
Yeah. Them coming in, just the arm in arm, it just felt very performative. And here's how I know this was all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nikki said that, you know, we were playing the rating game, and she said we did it twice. Now, keep in mind, she said she did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they did it in front of Dr. Paul, what did she rank? She gave them a 2.
A 2.
And he gave 7.5.
7.5.
Yeah. Then she says we've done it twice. The first time, we were both 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time, it was 9.5 out of 10. And I was like, how do you go from a 2 to a 10 in 48 hours, right? And then she says that we've realized that we have a lot of commonalities. Mm-hmm. And she says if this progresses, maybe she can grow an attraction to him. That's why I know it's all bullshit. You're still not attracted to this guy. Mm-hmm. Don't act like this 9.5 out of 10 and 10 out of 10 that y'all are, you know, in the words of Forrest Gump, peas and carrots. No. Stop it.
Sean admits to trying to win the fight in every argument. You know, but look, nobody believes him. Cameron, Michelle, Nick, none of them believe them, right? Because even Nick says, I feel like I missed 10 chapters from the dinner to all of a sudden now we're at 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. Nikki B says, I feel bad for Nikki because she can't say what we all see. I see what you're trying to do there, Nikki. I'm going to leave you alone right there on that island. You and everybody else is trying to jump on that island, get us to say it. We're not going to say it. We're going to leave that man alone.
Yeah.
Taylor says, I feel like people can change or trying to change. They're doing the work and trying. So I think at first it will look performative, but they're working at it. No.
Okay. 48 hours. 48 hours. You believe? I mean, I don't have that type of hope. But that's some Barack Obama hope. If you feel in 48 hours, somebody could totally change the way.
Yes, we can.
We can. No.
Like Chocolate Suda says, same way Mecca went from 150% to 80% to 80% to 60%. Numbers mean nothing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
10 out of 10.
Sly calls them 5'5" liars.
Wow. The lollipop guilt.
Now, Mimi has a great point here. They may have rated it a 10 because they didn't argue that day like they normally do. Success. We all measure success differently.
Yeah. I mean, that if that's what you say success is, I don't hate you as much today as I did yesterday. Yeah. Success. As I say, you know, the lasagna you made today is nowhere near as bad as that shitty lasagna you made last night, Marie. So
I still can't eat it, but
success. You're getting better.
Coach Run says, since Nikki married Sean, it's been an Arizona desert inside Nikki's body. Oh my God, y'all are off the chain, I swear. And I see y'all try to slip that in there. We're not going to put it out there, okay? We'll let y'all keep it in the chat.
Kevin, looking at you.
By the way, Dina has another solution. Maybe it's because Sean took a shower instead of a hoe bath.
Okay, let's play this game. If someone professionally in the streets lays down with people for money, mm-hmm. and they actually take a shower, do you feel they are clean? Just throw it out there.
I'm going to keep on moving. Caitlin and Devin. I'm glad we're not the only ones who have seen this, but Paul and Dr. Paz have seen it too. Devin's light has been dimmed. Or are we seeing things here?
No, I don't think we're seeing things. I think his light has been dimmed. He has so much energy. He would come in, you know, light up a room. I mean, he just has an energy that lights up a room. Mm-hmm. And he's been kind of subduing that all for Caitlin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only do the experts recognize it,
yeah,
the other cast members recognize it, and even Caitlin recognizes it. Oh yeah, it's diminished a bit, but I like it.
that's the diabolical part.
Yes,
because like Monique says, it has them to appease her, and she likes that version of him now.
Yeah, yeah. I like you all docile, like a little neutered puppy.
Because Devin says he tried love bombing her. He realized he had to pull back. So that's what it's been. Paul calls Devin the most committed person in the room. Because even Felipe says Devin is so committed, he will do anything to make it work, which is what it kind of feels like.
It does, but I respect what Devin is doing, and I'm hoping this is not going to be one of those where we're all on Devin's side,
right?
And then, you know, episode 12, we're going to be like, oh, Devin's crazy, you know, but he is trying his best. He's trying to see it through her lens and all these different things, and it feels like he's making concessions for her, but there's no compromise, and I think that's the difference. He's making concessions. There's no compromise. And she's not compromising at all. It's just, hey, I need you to be less. So now I feel good.
Right.
About, and I just love this interaction between Caitlin and Dr. Paul. From Paul, because she tried to say that, hey, you know, I'm kind of all over the place. I'm flighty and I need somebody to ground me. And Paul's like, yeah, that's not what a marriage is supposed to do. That's not your partner's job. Your job.
Exactly. LaShawn says Caitlin was not ready for this experience. Even if he chases her, it won't be enough. She's just not ready for marriage.
Right.
And Williams Prince says, Devin knows he's fine AF. Caitlin can play if she wants to. Even her friends thought he was attractive.
Yeah, Devin's got options.
Yeah.
You know, he will be fine, whether this works out or not, which is why I think he's just like, you know what? I'm just going to play this out, and I'm just going to roll in it. You know, soon as this episode airs, as soon as this goes live, my world's about to change. So
DM's going to be popping.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, and I like that Paul said this, and even Dr. Paz had to be like, yo, well, props, man. I wish I had said that. He says that Paul says love doesn't diminish you. Mm-hmm. It asks for more of you.
Yes.
And he even says, you should never be in a relationship where you have to dim, reduce, or shrink who you are.
Yeah.
Your partner should want more of you.
100%. Every time I've been in a serious relationship, I really care about you. I'm your biggest hype man.
Right.
Even when you're wrong, I will be your hype man publicly in front of other people. I want you to be yourself. Whatever it is that attracted me to you, keep doing all that goofy shit. Great. Right. I love all that. And I agree that if you really care about somebody, you don't want them to be less than who they are to appease you, your friends, your family, whatever. This is why I'm very selective. I date somebody. Can I bring this person around work? Because I don't want to like get somebody be like, hey, we're going. This is a work event. It's pronounced salmon. It's not salmon. Scrimp is not a thing.
I'm just saying that's even funnier now, but go ahead. That's even funnier now, but that's okay. Go ahead. You go ahead. I'm going to let you keep going.
No, I'm good.
Monica says, if they don't want more of you, that's not your person. Exactly.
Right.
If they don't laugh at your corny jokes, they're not your person.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree. Laugh at my shit.
Like Sly says, hype him up, Tell. Yes. Trinity says, whenever one of them says they're not ready for this, I ask, then why are you on the show? Agreed?
Well, we know why they're on this show, because it gives them a boost of something. You're not doing it for nothing. You're doing it for followers, something, social media, whatever it is. You're doing it for a reason.
Right. No, very true. Really true. And Tessa calls it words of wisdom from Paul, which someone else said, you know, check out his podcast. He's actually pretty good, too. So he's legit. He's legit.
100%. I like that. I think about happiness, right? It's not your spouse's job to make you happy. It's not your boss's job to make you happy. As me as a director, my job's not to make you happy. My job's to provide you a safe place to work.
Right.
But I don't have to make you happy every day. That's you. Happiness is a choice. So I love how Paul, you know, holds her accountable for that.
Oh, like I always say, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win.
That works. that could work. It could backfire. Just depends on how you present it.
Oh yeah, well, it didn't. We still won. That was about 8 years ago. Hey, appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Do us a favor, please. If you haven't already, hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shows.
The experts. What'd she say here?
You gotta see.
I don't go to a man's home or room if I don't plan on nightgowning them. Don't put yourself in a position you aren't ready for. Which then I'd ask Nikki, so if you stay the night and wake up the next morning, is there a reason why?
You got your day gowned? Don't know if that's what you call it. Is that the proper name, Nikki? Educate me. Thirsting for knowledge.
It's called
a day gown when it's morning sex?
No, it's called a proper wake up.
It's a proper wake up.
So that's called a proper
wake up.
Alarm clock. Oh man, all black people don't look alike. Stop it. Especially when you go type it in all caps. Not look like Jemele Hill's twin brother. Thank you very much. The eyes don't make it that. That's not the only thing. Jesus.
Jesus, breakfast in bed. Nikki, I like how you think. Ladies in the chat, y'all need to DM Nikki, get some notes. Make your relationships last longer.
You know, the experts ask, if today was decision day, would you be a yes, a no, or undecided, right? And there were a number of undecideds, like Caitlin and Devin, they were undecided. No surprise. Nikki and Sean, I thought there would be no, so maybe a surprise, but they said undecided. Nikki says needs consistency and physical has to grow. It won't.
It won't. Especially you keep saying it. Well.
Right. Courtney and Nick undecided because Courtney needs Nick to be real. Mirror, please. Belle Jolie and Mecca said they're undecided. And this I thought was the worst answer of all, when Mecca's like, well, if it were yes, it would require certain emotions to develop and not being scared of them.
That's on you.
Yeah. That was the most alarming explanation. Yeah.
That's on you. And I agree with Slay. Undecided is no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, undecided is definitely a no. Because if you don't know, even though, you know, later Nick was like, I can't believe people actually said yes. Well, there were a couple of yeses. And there's no surprises on the yeses, right? Michelle and Cameron?
Right.
No surprise?
No surprise.
Okay. Who was the other yes there? Tori and Felipe. Was that a surprise?
I was surprised.
Is it because Felipe said, but we still need to talk about some important shit?
No, I just don't believe Tori really likes him like this. I said this last on episode 7's 8 recap. I don't think Tori really is into him like this.
I can't believe you think that.
Yeah, absolutely she is.
Y'all have seen something that I haven't seen. I'm not understanding that. But, okay.
My gut. It's gut.
Okay, I know we were all surprised Marissa and Adam said yes, right?
Yeah.
But not surprised when Adam says, as long as we keep vibing.
Of course. As long as you keep giving it up, I'm in.
Yeah. Now, post-group therapy, we did see a couple things, like Caitlin and Devin. And you realize how badly they're matched. Because Caitlin says, oh, I really need a massage. I'll give you one. No, I need a real massage.
Yeah. No, I can give you a real massage. No, from somebody that doesn't like me.
Yeah.
She wants somebody to make it hurt.
I'm like, you know what? Get out.
Yeah.
I know I didn't order this Uber, but you get out. Plain and simple. Seriously. Like.
You're about to get kicked out of a car from a guy who doesn't like you.
Michelle and Cameron, Michelle says Belle Jolie and Mecca finally showed themselves. Do you agree with
her? Yeah, because they were very performative, even at the honeymoon couples get togethers, the two, over the top, and then at the dinner, over the top. This was them being real in the group session. So I agree with Michelle and Cameron.
Mm. Now, Cameron's leaving the next morning. He's got to go coach. And I like that he said their team now and every decision is about them and not about him. Because once you say I do, it's no longer I. That's the last time you say I, because it becomes we.
Right. And I thought this was really powerful, right? Because she was saying, well, but it's your dream. And she's referring to him coaching. He's in Portland. She's in Seattle. She doesn't want to live in Portland. She wants to raise a family in Seattle. And he was saying, well, we got to do what's best for both of us. It's an us thing. And she said, yeah, but it's your dream. And I like how he said, I have other dreams.
Mm-hmm. But she goes, thank God, because I didn't want to move anyway.
that's maturity.
No, that's good. Beljulia and Mech, on the other hand, Mech is all in his feels about that whole performative comment. And Beljulia is, when you talk about ride or die, caping for Captain Saver, she was all of this for him in this one, boy. Gee whiz.
I mean, she is all about her man, which, good for you. You know, happy for that. But they're just not being honest with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were being performative. And it's okay. No one said it's not bad when you get called out. And I think that's just that some people just can't take feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at all. And it's the fact that Beljulia says she doesn't know the intent of the other individuals, and the nitpicking is starting to make her feel some type of way, your favorite term. It's telling me they're in this competition mode still, like they were from the first group meetup to now.
But that's the thing that's crazy. It's not a competition.
Right.
It's like where you're at in your relationship is where you're at in your relationship. There's no trophy at the end of this. There's no Super Bowl of Married at First Sight.
There isn't. Even the Kaywu says this absolutely perfect. Belle is overprotective of a man that doesn't protect her. And Sanan's fan says it hurt Mecca's feelings because it's true. It is true. That's exactly what it is.
Do you think she's being overprotected because she knows how, with his mommy issues, this is how she can soothe that wound, is by protecting him?
Are they being that for, or is she leaning on him for her own daddy issues?
Same.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't see how she can stay there, be there, and still think this man, unless she's just like, I'm going to go all in, this is what I'm going to do. It's just as if this man has told you he doesn't like you.
Right.
He's told you that. And now because he decided to give you something, said, I won't force myself to do it if I'm not attracted to you. You feel like, oh, everything's all good. I actually feel bad for her, to be quite honest. And it's I'm not mad at her. I feel bad for her, plain and simple.
I feel bad for her, too, because I think she is someone whose heart is open to this process. And she wants to go all in. And she wants somebody that's all in on her, just like she's all in on Mecca. And it's not Mecca.
Right.
And I don't think he's going to be. He's not just going to wake up and have an aha moment and be like, you know, she's pretty dope. Mm-hmm. I just feel like she's going to want to be getting hurt at the end of this. But she's in the same situation as Devin. She'll be fine.
Right.
She will be fine. Her DMs will be lit up.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be fine.
Yep. By the way, Nubia Mahogany says Belle has no idea what she's getting into. And I was wondering when somebody's going to bring it up. Monique says, Mecca wearing that scarf on his neck like Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I think it was Nikki B that was trying to say yesterday that he didn't have a shirt on under that cardigan.
Yeah.
He did. He had but it was like a low cut tank top, which to me, and the scarf, all it was screaming something different.
Mm-hmm.
It was screaming, Bill, I don't like you.
Yeah. Nikki B says it right. Fathers, love your daughters. For real, for real, for real. Beljulia tells Mecca just to be Mecca. You be you, because that's all I need you to be. And that's all there is to it. Nikki, sorry, I don't have that. I didn't get a chance to pull it. I'm sorry. But hey, tell us, what'd you think of this episode? Let us know in the comments. How'd you feel about this episode? How do you feel about this group therapy? I did see some folks saying, like, hey, man, I'm loving the new format because Kelly says, how do you like the new format? I love the hands-on approach of the experts. Love the group counseling. I'm going to love it more if they get to the point of they've got to make decisions every week and decide whether to stay together or not. If they don't bring that in, I'm going to be pissed. If they do, I'll be right there cheering along with you.
I'm curious if they bring it in or not because I've never seen it before in the first place. So I'm curious if they're going to bring that in.
Mm-hmm. MWA still asking, are you gonna Are you gonna watch? Put a ring on it. We talked about that in yesterday's episode, and the live crew kind of talked him out of it. We tried to sneak it by him, but to be quite honest, Love is Blind UK is about to start, and we're gonna do that one too. So,
I've gotten DM'd about how bad that show is. I've seen people comment under yesterday's episode of how bad that show is. No,
yeah,
can't talk me into doing that. I'm sorry.
And I see a lot of people liking the direction of the show. I did see a couple people say, oh, the season's boring. No, it's going to get there. And it's just, I like this new format. They're not sticking around doing all the extra fluff. We got weddings the first damn episode. We had seven weddings and got through all of them before the first one would have been done in the old format, right? Sedan's plans, yes, I want to stay or leave like the UK version. I want that too, definitely.
Yeah.
By the way, a couple things in here. Just want to get to real quick. Let me go down this. Mrs. Taji said earlier, smoked for 20 years, quit when I became pregnant. Now I can't stand the smell of cigarette smoke. We talk about those things that you did before, you don't like. And that was one. I can smell, if I'm on the highway, I can smell somebody smoking two or three cars ahead.
Yeah, I miss the feeling I had from smoking. I do miss that, but I don't miss the smell and all that. And then trying to hide it when you're trying to date people who don't smoke. I mean, it was just way too much work.
Top Flight asks, did y'all pick up on how the black couples seem to be judged by these other couples doing their confessionals?
No. And only reason why I say that is keep in mind, everybody goes through confessionals. They only put certain stuff up on TV.
Right.
So if the other couples didn't say anything really bad about somebody, they're not going to put it on there. They're not going to go, oh, I think this couple's great. They're going to make it all the way. So I don't think it's a black couples thing. And we've been talking bad about Nikki and Sean and Becca. We've been talking bad about all of them. So it's not just these other people in the confessionals.
So I think if that's the case, you really got to get to production and the editors, because that's who has the final say and not just not really the other couples. I think they all talk about each other. It's who they decide to put on there and what they decide to show. Talking about weddings, when you know they're not going to make it, Nikki B said, I just declined a wedding invite because I know the ish won't last. I'm keeping my damn envelope.
But keep the envelope, though.
Marie says, a friend of mine got married a few years ago and they spent $40K on their wedding.
Wow.
They just announced their divorce. Damn.
A year ago.
Wow. Ooh, a few years ago. But still, I don't give a damn if it was, and a few is what?
20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
$40,000 wedding is ridiculous.
That's a lot. That is a lot. Newbie Mahogany asked the question. I already know the answer, but I just figured since she asked it, you should answer it. Yanni and Toe, would you wear black fingernail polish?
No.
Answer set.
Yeah, nothing about this would say I would do this.
Chocolate Suna says, speaking of twins, my twin brother and I celebrate our birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah, it's awesome.
And apparently, Kevin and them got jokes. I see it now. Yanni's real name is Jamal Hill.
Wow. Way to be original, Kevin. You got him.
Rasta Kine says, Courtney needs to be with a black man. Do you agree?
Why do you say that?
Well, Kevin says Courtney needs to be by herself. And Mike says, hey, don't put Courtney on us. Which I agree. Don't put Courtney on us. Thank you, Mike. Or at least on y'all. On y'all.
Like, why does Courtney need a black man? For what? Like, what good would that do?
Haven't we been through enough?
Yeah. She's been cheated on already.
Oh, why? Shit. That's not where I was going, but okay. Damn.
She's been cheated on enough. Why would y'all do that?
You're so wrong for that. You're wrong for that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Amanda, says, hey, y'all watching from the Bay Area. I know I might be late, but I love the podcast. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, make sure you hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shout!
And last thing before we get out, well, two more things before we get out here. Little Eva said Sanctus is great. Been there three times. You can attest to that. Even though you've been once, we got to get you back.
Yep.
Just took my wife and daughter for the first time. So and they all had a great time, man. So it was great.
Oh, I'm going.
Yeah. Toya says it'll be her third time stopping in Sanctus. Beautiful island. So good, good. And it actually really is. And NWA said, sorry you missed the goal. I tried to promote the pod. We appreciate all the efforts. And we know we will at some point get that goal, hopefully sooner than later. So please, if you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
Shout.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Harold.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Harold, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit from the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn to cool in the rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's tomato. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the word to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the combo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.